Mania Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Curry. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. Happy New Year. And in the year of the fire horse, things are rocketing off at a gallop, I think. Certainly, it's an action-packed news broadcast nightly, and when you have the Secretary for War in the US doing pronouncements, it's a bit chilling. At the moment, though, the fine weather is blessing us, and it's certainly wonderful for the people going to the tennis and or even watching it on telly. It's that wonderful time of the year where that's something to be thrilled about. I hope you've all had an opportunity to take a rest from some of the usual duties that are part and parcel of being in the senior community, volunteering. And we are the glue that keeps a lot of things going. So we need a break, and we need to fire up our own burners and take account of ourselves, where we're at. Just do an internal check on our own boundaries and our own self-care programs and so on. And we mention self-care quite a bit during the year, and we often interview people who've got programs in the community that encourage people to investigate options to further their knowledge about health and well-being. And this year is not going to be any exception. We're going to focus a lot on health and well-being. Right now, because it's summer, people sometimes are not drinking enough fluids. They're just not hydrating themselves enough. And so 6 to 8 glasses of water a day is what's the recommended amount. And I think I often count, and I find I'm at 4 or 5, and I don't want to drink later in the evening because I don't want to be up in the night. So planning, having water handy, having your water bottle with you when you're out, all these things enable you to take frequent small sips and just keep yourself topped up. Then it doesn't have to be a big race. So that's something I just wanted to mention in passing. Of course, at this time of the year, a lot of our people that we would want to ring and invite into the studio are off on holidays. And so I'm actually here thinking about who we are going to have on the list later in the year, who we're going to focus on, and the topics that we're going to focus on. And so we'll be having a planning meeting with the team, getting together, and we're always open to suggestions and new ideas. So if you've got ideas and you want to share them, please get in touch. And our contact details are on the website. And I think most people have visited the site from time to time who listen to this program. So it's a good idea to see what's there, what you can tap into. And you may enjoy some of the past podcasts that are up. We do have quite a selection going back over the 10 years that we've been going. And then we always have the last 4 programs over the last month available as well from the website under programs, under senior focus. All we've got to do is go through the S's. And it's in alphabetical order, so it's not hard. And if you're out and about with your phone and you want to share details with a friend, or you want to tune in and listen to a program while you're travelling with your headphones on, then it's easy because you just Google Senior Focus Auckland. Put that into Google and you're right up with our latest podcasts. Today I wanted to talk about the fundamental way of improving your positivity, your intent in terms of relating to others, and your focus in terms of self-care, strengthening that through working on your inner attitude, your attitude towards how you connect. One of gratitude, one of thankfulness, would undoubtedly release more positive energy. And there's a lot of research now coming in to support this. So much so that in workplaces, health and safety managers are actually looking at how they can encourage gratitude programs to change attitudes. I noticed that in an environment that's been very stressful in the last 2 years, and that's the urban transport, the buses, where we've had 11 drivers stabbed, we've had 2 people murdered, we've had one of whom was murdered by a complete stranger, and we've had numerous incidents of passengers being threatened and assaults and so on. And so in this environment, to find ways to help people to stay positive, to help support the drivers, to encourage people to have some positive focus while they're actually travelling on the bus, it's terribly important. And so I'm really impressed to see how some of the urban transport bus companies actually at their depots have got all kinds of things like bulletin boards where people can post things. They run competitions where people can video a conversation with a driver that involves expressing gratitude and thanks. And annually they have a contest where they look at what the best results and the best outcomes are from these programs, and they provide rewards to drivers appropriately. So this is a positive initiative or series of initiatives to really try and humanize the workplace and strengthen people from a positive angle and base it on research. And so I'm very pleased to see this, because amongst those volunteers who participate in customer feedback to Auckland Transport and groups, focus groups and the like, it has been promoted in the last year at least twice. There's been a request put in that some of the companies that used to have such programs somehow have forgotten about them. How can they be elevated and strengthened and brought back in? And so all this feedback does get listened to eventually. Things do happen. So it's really important for me to stress that if you attempted to use AT's feedback mechanisms, their forms on your cell phone or go on the website, it doesn't always have to be about complaint. It can be about really positive things. When you see outstanding customer service, when you see drivers helping people with bags, taking rubbish out of the drain so that people don't stand in the wet while they're waiting for the bus, all these kinds of things. It's wonderful to acknowledge and to really just do that extra, go the extra mile. And while you may think in your heart how great they were, it's really good to let their company know. So when I looked at gratitude as a topic for today, I became aware that there's a new book out by Kerry Howells, and she's an Australian academic author who's written a number of books about gratitude, and this is a new version. This is about organisational change, how to change school environments, focusing on various programs that change attitudes with the pupils, with the teachers and so on. And I haven't read it, as yet. I haven't laid hands on a copy, but it is on my list to do for the year, for earlier on in the year. And I was thinking also that it would be really good to have her on the program. So that's on my list to do. But thinking about gratitude, it's something that underpins success for a lot of people. Where you find people who do exceptional things, people who spearhead change, particularly who do things globally. I'm thinking of someone like Wendy Pye, who was made redundant many years ago and with a suitcase of books took herself to a book fair on the other side of the world and began promoting her initial program to help children read. And her vision was to change life for children across the planet and help eradicate poverty by teaching children to read. And she has books published in over 30 languages now for children of different ages. And these books have been published over the last 20 years. So she's gone with the flow, gone with the times. She keeps bringing out things that are relevant, timely, and appealing. And while she's been knighted, she's Dame Wendy Pye, while she's had a number of awards and accolades, underneath all of it, she's had some very considerable challenges to face. And she's faced those challenges through having nurturing a spirit of gratitude. It's been the bedrock of her success. Not because she married someone wealthy, not because she stumbled across a benefactor, not because of any winning of lotto or any other strategy, but simply her attitude generated connections for her, generated positive networking opportunities, generated being at the right place at the right time. And these things are not accidents. They don't happen by chance, but they happen because of that feeding the fire, feeding the spirit of gratitude within. And it really pays off. There's lots of other people I could talk about who've done this type of thing. And particularly with health, when you're up against challenges where you've got chronic health issues and it can feel like two steps forward and one step back at times, you know that you're getting improvements, but then you also know that you have off days and you have days where it's hard to keep with the program, be consistent, and so on. And it's when you get inspired to feed and nurture yourself, that spirit of gratitude, that's when you can pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and have another go. And then sometimes you just need to consider what some other people have done in much worse circumstances, and it can be so inspirational that you think, goodness gracious, if I can surely do a little bit more, surely today I can do one more lap of the pool, or I can walk for an extra 10 minutes, or I can take time to be more selective and make sure I include an extra serving or two of vegetables. You know, these are small things, but like the sipping of water hourly and so on, they all add up. And it's the regular small things that tip the balance, that really bring about the healing in of the digestion system, which is at the root of your brain health and your cognitive well-being. And dementia is not inevitable. I hate the way some people focus on It is a terror. That is their worst nightmare. But that they feel helpless because it can happen to anyone. Yes, it can, but it's actually most likely to happen to people who don't follow their health challenges, who don't examine the data, who don't go and get tested for hearing loss. Even though they're aware that they've got a mild issue and that sometimes they struggle to hear people, but by not arresting that early loss, they're actually running a 20% increased chance of having dementia. I'd say those are pretty high odds, and I certainly can see the value in that. It was something that I had conversations with people over the last couple of years. I've mentioned it on the program. I've had some male listeners who've been quite affronted and can't see the connection between what they consider to be a trivial amount of hearing loss and the potentiality for dementia. And I think that sometimes perhaps people haven't grown up with research or been in a research community. Sometimes they think it's just opinions that people want to push. They don't actually recognise the validity of some of the research. I'm not saying all research is valid, but I am saying that some of it is taken across a wide range of people. And I think that was one of the great advantages we had with our Aged Care Commissioner, Carolyn Cooper, was that she looked strategically across the whole of the senior health spectrum and thought, what's the one thing that we could do that would make a real lasting difference for New Zealanders? And her one thing that she focused on in her first report was this very fact that early intervention with actually getting yourself tested, even if you think your hearing is fine and you don't think there's a problem, most hearing clinics will test you for free. And if they're going to charge you, you can always go somewhere that is free. I mean, there's no excuse not to do it, really. And in doing that, you learn a little bit more about yourself and what your options might be if you need to attend to it. But if you do have some hearing loss, starting early is the best way to slow the process down and also lessen your chances of dementia. Of course, there are other things you can do as well, but this is a very significant factor because the research also shows us that most people are actually waiting far too long before they do anything. In other words, the hearing loss is quite advanced when they do seek help. And at that point, all the best technology in the world can't really undo a lot of the loss that's already happened because it's so tied up with your cognitive functioning, with your brain. So your hearing is not something that exists in isolation away from your brain. It's something that's part of your processing, what you absorb and what you think about and how you respond. And so getting tested early, getting on top of it, and actually regularly doing so. There's not much point in having a test 2 years ago and then doing nothing for the next 5 years. It's something you really need to do probably biannually, if not annually. And one could say similar things about eyes, but ears are really critical when it comes to cognitive functioning. But another area that's very critical is your gut with your digestion, how you actually process food, what bacteria is ruling your stomach activities, and what proportion of your cholesterol, your HDL cholesterol, is in play. And if that's too low or your LDL's too high, those figures are really quite significant. So we have warranted fitnesses for cars. We don't really think about warranted fitnesses for ourselves, but getting a regular blood checkup, actually checking on your liver function, your kidney function, your cholesterol level, your B12 level, all of these things are very, and your iron, I meant to mention your iron, they're very significant because they interplay with not only your digestive system, but ultimately your cognitive levels. And they're all linked. So those are things that you can focus on. And when you're not rushing around helping other people and doing a lot of the volunteering work that you do during the year, you can actually take some time out to plan and draft a series of goals for yourself on what you're going to focus on this year. And how you're going to fit in me time, how you're going to have some time where it's unstructured, where you can just be with yourself and listen to yourself and review things that you've experienced and think about, well, what do I really want to do this year? What will make a real difference to my health and well-being that I haven't done in the past? And there's always things that you can do that's new. And as I've talked about on this program before, the five ways to well-being, if you consider taking up something new, that you can do new learning, and this is a cognitive stimulation for your brain. This is something that's going to have quite an impact. And it might be that you once played an instrument and you haven't played it in 40 years. But if you join a music group and you start playing again, you'll be really incredibly amazed at what that unlocks. Because with all the research we've got now and into the cognitive functioning of older people and into the dementia progressions, what we see is that music and musical memory is one of the last skill sets to drop off. So even people with quite advanced dementia can still have pleasure from music. And so it's really important, if you have had a musical connection in the past, to re-stimulate that and to bring that back and work on that, because it may be a very treasured thing for you if you suffer any decline. To have re-stimulated that will be of great value. Some people benefit from journaling as a way of keeping in touch with themselves, reviewing what they are thinking, setting goals, and just regulating their emotional responses and reactions. Instead of getting on the blame complain train, by actually journaling, you can learn to understand more about your own reactions and find patterns in how you react. And consider, what are the triggers, and are they related to things from your childhood or from negative experiences that you've had in the past? And this kind of musing can really be invaluable in helping you set aside things. Sometimes people really don't take time out to do this type of activity, so it feels strange in the beginning, and you might feel, oh, you know, this is navel gazing and wasting time. But it actually is only something that you're going to get real benefit and value from by doing regularly. And it's the time that you set aside that you don't allow other people to encroach on that time. You just say no quietly to whatever you're asked to do, and you stick to your guns and you stick with your program. And you, it's just quite amazing what people get out of this. And there's lots and lots of books now written about journaling and its benefits and so on. But it's not just a diary. It's not just a blow-by-blow account of what you did yesterday. But it's much more an emotional lifeline to your well-being, a way of reviewing and considering, reformulating, repatterning your thinking so you can be on a more positive track more of the time. So I hope that you will, through this program, through the people that we bring in on the program, the suggestions we make, and the books we recommend, and so on, I'm hoping that this year will be a growth year for all of you. I'm hoping that people will get a lot out of the program and that we will have more interaction with our audience. And we're working on these kinds of issues through attending events and festivals so that we will actually have a presence out in the community more. But we're also looking at bringing in new broadcasters and covering off men's health issues and programs that will help people going through transitions. Because all transitions involve some sort of grief, some sort of loss. And it's sometimes when you have a lot of that in quick succession, it becomes a difficult area, a difficult way to see your way forwards. And the more resources you have to work with your own mental health issues, the more empowered you are and the more likely you are to come out not only strengthened, but able to resource others, able to help others in the community. Thanks for your attention today, and I wish you all the best for 2026 and future listening with Senior Focus.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.
Scarborough Fair, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Snow crested cloud. Without no sleep or night, and over a child of her mind, she'll be a true love of mine. Strands and polishes of gold, and she'll be a true love of mine. desire to leap in a sickle bellows with his name scarlet battalion.